Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We exalt you, Lord, this morning. We worship you. We worship you, Lord, because you are good. Because you are kind. You are the Lord who never changes. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you remain the same, and your name must always be hallowed. Oh, that men will praise you for your goodness and for your wonderful works to the children of men. We thank you for all the fantastic and amazing things that you do for your people. You've assured us that those who put their trust in you, God, will never be put to shame. And thank you, Father, for what we've heard today about what you did for this family in church. It fills us with confidence and the assurance that our time will come, each and every one of us, and our expectations will all be met by you. Today we pray for ourselves and ask that you will touch us. Let your word have a great impact and effect on us. Bless everyone listening to me today, whether they are here physically present, whether they're watching me online, or they are listening to the message at some other time. May your presence be felt here. May your power be experienced here. May your glory be seen in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say, Amen. All right, put your hands together for Jesus, everyone. God bless you. And you may be seated. It's good to see all of you. And as we informed you on our church platform, there is this yearly ban on drumming and noise making that we are supposed to respect out of a certain respect for the traditional authorities. Not all men have the same kind of faith that we have. And it is always wise to align yourself properly so that you don't run into problems with the authority figures in the community where you operate. And so from now till actually the 25th of May, we're going to observe this ban. It means that we've gone off the drums and everything. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, that the hour cometh when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Everybody say, in spirit and in truth. Say it again, in spirit and in truth. And it says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. It continues in verse 24 to say, it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, to worship God in spirit means that you worship him from within, from your heart. You engage him from within you. To worship God in spirit means that you don't worship him based on external systems like drums, like bass guitar, and all these equipment that we worship God with, or instruments that we worship God with. There is nothing wrong with worshiping with these musical instruments. Actually, the Bible urges us to worship him with a cymbal, with a timbrel, with a harp, and what have you. There's no problem with it. But if you get to a place in your worship where how you worship is influenced by musical instruments, such that if those instruments are not there, it affects the quality and the depth of your worship. It means that you are not worshiping God in spirit. Which is why I expect that if when there are drums and percussion, you come up front to dance, when there are no drums and percussion, you should still do the same. Because you are worshiping God in spirit. Hallelujah. And to worship God in truth is to worship Him, knowing who Christ is. To worship God in truth means to worship Him based on the truth revealed about Him in His Word. That is what it means to worship God in Word. And I want to say to you that over this period, as we observe this ban, I want our worship and our praises to be a deep and a meaningful time with the Lord, where people come from deep within and engage Him with our heart, and not allow what we are presenting to Him to be of a lower quality just because you cannot use musical instruments. Am I making sense to somebody today? We really need to be deep in our walk with God. And over this period of time, we have an opportunity to do that. Hallelujah. So that's the first part of my sermon. You can clap unto the Lord and bless His name. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we are reading verse 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. It says, and this is from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Everybody say with me, the cross of Christ. Then verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Hallelujah. Amen. Obviously, Paul is not referring to just any cross, but he's referring to the cross of Jesus. And he says that specifically here. He says, "Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Then it goes on to refer to two things about the cross. Come down. He refers to the message of the cross, and then he refers to the power of the cross. Now, last Sunday, I told you and I reminded you that the symbol of the Christian faith is the cross. Amen. But you see, the cross of Jesus is not merely symbolic. The cross of Jesus is an expression of the power of God that is able to save, that is able to transform, that is able to restore. So yes, it is the symbol of the Christian faith, but it is more than just a symbol. It is actually an expression. It gives a message. It tells a story about the power of God. And it is through the power of God that justice was satisfied on the cross. It was through the power of God that the grace of God was released to us through Christ's finished work on the cross. And then through the power of the cross, we have victories that are ours to enjoy in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we must never be ashamed of the cross of Jesus. We must always revere it and understand that it's a symbol of our faith, but it is also an expression of the power of God that is able to change our lives. Can I have an amen from somebody? And so we've been looking at the victories of the cross. And today, by the grace of God, I must to finish. Amen. The victories of the cross. And I've mentioned to you that the victories of the cross changed our past, empowers our present, and it guarantees our future, our eternal future. And all this is because of the power of the cross. So we've looked at different victories that are ours through the cross. What is the first one that you wrote in your notes, the first victory of the cross, forgiveness of sins. All right? Forgiveness of sins. It is the first victory of the cross, forgiveness of sins. What's the second victory? Justification or declared righteous. What's the third victory? Reconciliation, all right, and peace with God. To reconcile means to fix a certain relationship that was damaged before and to put two people back together again. So one of the major victories of the cross is that we have reconciliation with God and we have peace with Him. And then the fourth victory that I shared with you, redemption from the curse of the law. And that's what we looked at last week, isn't it? Right. And I explained to you that redemption means to buy back. To buy back. And the Bible talks about redemption from the curse of the law. And just to recap, I explained to you that the treachery and the sin of Adam and Eve brought certain consequences on all of the human race. A nature of sin was passed on to each and every one of us. If you are born as a result of a coming together of a physical man and a physical woman, you come with a nature of sin. As a result of their disobedience, death was also passed on to all of mankind. But one other consequence of their sin was a curse, or curses were released on all of humanity. And so when we are born into this world, we come under a curse. There's already a curse at work and we just fall into it. Even before we do our first bad thing, we are under a curse. And this was a curse that brought bondage. It brought suffering. It brought frustration. It brought pain. It brought sorrow. It brought confusion. Introduced generational struggles and difficulties, all because of their disobedience. And just to help us to understand how this whole thing, how serious this whole thing of sin and disobedience is, God, when He gave His law to the people of Israel through Moses, explained to them even further the consequences of sin. And that is why when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 15 downwards, it tells you different curses that come as a result of sin and disobedience. And ladies and gentlemen, all of us were operating under that curse. But when Jesus came and He took our place on the cross and He died for us, He took our curses upon Himself and He was made a curse for you and I. And this happened so that He could use His precious blood to buy us back. Because another thing that you must understand is that when God created Adam and Eve, He gave them a certain power, authority, and dominion. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And He said, have dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every moving thing, every creeping thing that walketh upon the face of the earth. That is authority, and that is dominion. And that is what God gave to man from the very beginning. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed, something serious happened. That power and dominion and authority that was theirs was handed over to Satan. Because the Bible says in Romans 6:16, that know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey,
whether of disobedience or whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, anybody you decide to obey becomes a master over you. And by listening to the devil and disobeying God's instruction, the authority and the dominion that God gave to them from the beginning, they handed it over to the devil. And the result of that was that man now became a slave of the devil. Which meant that in saving us, Jesus had to buy us back. And that's what he did. That's why we use the word redemption. To redeem means to buy back. So he bought us back from the devil. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law. It is one of the victories of the cross. And I want you to live your Christian life with this understanding and assurance that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I declare to you and emphasize again that every frustration, every sorrow, every pain, every disappointment, every negative pattern that you see in your life, by the victory of the cross of Jesus, may it be known unto you that you are free forever. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, whom the Son shall set free is free indeed. Lift up your right hand and say, I believe it. I am free. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. No more frustrations. No more sorrow. No more disappointment. No more self-destruction. I have been set free through the victory of the cross, and I will walk in that freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Would you clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. So let's move on now to victory number 5. The fifth major victory of the cross is victory over Satan and dark powers. Victory over Satan and dark powers. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. The fifth victory of the cross that we need to celebrate is victory over Satan and dark powers. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, from the New Living Translation, the Bible says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Now that's something you have to understand, that when you are not saved, when you are not born again, you are dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature. You are dead. You are cut off from God. You are disconnected from Him. You may look okay, but you are dead. Have you heard the expression before? Tiasiowo. You are alive, but you are dead. I mean, it is like you have a very beautiful phone. iPhone 17 Pro Max. Beautiful. It looks great and everything. But once the battery of that phone is dead, it is useless. And until you find Christ, you are dead. You may look like everything is okay. You may look like you have everything together. It may look as if things are working out for you. But what you are not aware of is that you are actually dead. And that was our condition until we met Christ. Hallelujah. It continues and says, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Lift up your hand and say, all my sins have been forgiven. Not just some of them, not just a few of them, but all of them have been forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It says he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So there used to be a record of charges and accusations that could be leveled against you and I. But now that record does not exist again. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, the slate has been wiped clean. The file of the folder has been erased. And there is nowhere that anybody can go and bring any record that will stand before God, because the slate has been wiped clean. In fact, the hard disk has been reformatted. There's nothing. And that is the power of the blood of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Hallelujah. And then verse 15 says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Take note. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Who are these spiritual rulers and authorities, if I may ask? Who are these? There's no trick in the question. So who are these spiritual rulers and authorities? Of course, Satan and his courts. Satan and the armies of demons and all the dark forces that harass us in this life. Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, rulers of the darkness of this world. These are the spiritual rulers and authorities that the Bible is referring to. And the Bible is saying from this verse that we read that Christ Jesus, he disarmed them. He disarmed Satan. He disarmed these demons. He disarmed these principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He disarmed them. What does it mean to disarm? Exactly. To disarm means to take away the weapons or the power that someone uses to fight, to cause harm, and to resist. To take away the authority and the power that someone uses to fight, to resist, and to harm. So that is what Christ Jesus did. Based on the scripture that we are reading, it says he disarmed them. So he took away the authority and the power that the devil and his hordes of demons had to hurt us, to harm us, to destroy us, and to frustrate our life. He took those powers away. And anybody who is saved and has received Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is your heritage. And this is your blessing. And this is a truth that you must walk in, that Christ has disarmed these spiritual authorities, these spiritual rulers. Christ has disarmed them for my sake. And it means that their power and their authority over me is broken. Hallelujah. But this is the problem. And somebody may ask that, but if he has been disarmed, how come we can still feel his effect sometimes in our lives and in the world? Because it is clear that Satan is still around. He hasn't gone anywhere. And it is clear that demons are still very active. Who do you think is responsible for all the evil things and all the bad things that you see happening around us? You think it's God? Nope. So it sounds like a confusion or a conflict of the truth. Because here we are, the Bible is telling us, and we know that there's no lie or falsehood in the Bible. It says Christ has disarmed them, yet we can feel their effect. Now, this is what you must understand. When it says Christ has disarmed them, what it's saying is that Christ has taken away their weapons and the powers that they have to have dominion over us. So he's taking away the authority, he's taking away the legal basis, he's taking away that power that the devil has to determine our eternal future and destiny. Remember that I told you earlier on that when Adam and Eve sinned, the authority and the dominion that was theirs to rule the earth and to subdue it, they handed that power and authority to Satan, which gave him the right to be able to mess us up and do us defi-defi. But when Jesus came and paid the price on the cross, the Bible says he disarmed them. So that power of dominion, those weapons of dominion, he doesn't have them where the life of the believer is concerned. You only benefit from what Christ has done if you come under the saving grace of God and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, he still has power over you. The only way you escape his power and all these things that he does is when you come under the saving grace of God and you put your trust in Christ Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Somebody say, I hear you. So what does he have now? What is he using to cause all the problems, especially in the life of the believer? He is not using weapons of dominion. He's using weapons of deception. And he's preying on your fears. He's preying on your unbelief. And he's preying on your ignorance. That is why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. The reason why that scripture is there is because the things that the forces of darkness are able to do against us, to cause us frustrations, to cause us pain and sorrow, he is able to do it because we give him place. And you give him place through your fears, because your fears empower him. We give him place through our unbelief, where you don't believe what God has said in his word concerning you, but rather you believe in the devil and what he can do against you. And you've heard me make this statement over and over again, that the problem with many of us as Christians is that we believe more in the power of the devil to hurt us than in the power of God to protect and to preserve us. And once you do that, you give place to him. Of course, do not ignore the existence of Satan and these powers of darkness, because that is also foolishness. To live your life just wishing away their existence and ignoring the fact that they are there, that is foolishness. You must know that they are there. You must be aware that they are there, but you must not be obsessed with them. Where every little thing, no abohun. Every little thing, no, hey, pastor, yeah, bro. It's not easy for us. You get a call, say, pastor, yes, pastor, yes. And this call, it is coming at midnight. I said, pastor, I was lying on my bed and I saw a big wall gecko. It moved from the corner of my room to the other corner. And pastor, I couldn't sleep again. Because you saw a wall. Do you know the things that we have seen in this life? Do you know the number of times I've seen scorpions in my bathroom? Where I ask myself, where did they pass? I have checked. I don't see any opening. But you see them. And what do I do? I just killed it. I killed them and I moved on with my life. If it had been you, you have turned the whole thing into a deliverance arrangement. Said, Debbie, Yasmaon. Yeah, me debi hear me. Mean to me nafiabum. Ahakra mean jare wa help you. Hey! I'm saying something to you. And I'm explaining to you something that is a major problem with a lot of believers. We are so fixated on Satan, on the harm that he can cause, on the evil that he does, that we ignore the fact that God has given us victory. And that victory is through the cross and through the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So refuse to live your life under fear from this day onwards. Don't give in to it. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Enough of the obsessions with the forces of darkness and what they can do. And there are my fellow pastors and ministers of the gospel and prophets who prey on your fear, and they exploit you and take advantage of you. You alone, you have joined about 74 prayer platforms. What's wrong with you? And you keep moving from place to place, from ministry to ministry. Every time now we date our son. No, there's something wrong. And what you don't realize is that what you are doing is what is actually opening the door. I'm saying to you again, do not ignore the existence of these forces of darkness, but understand that they have been disarmed. So stand strong and secure in the victory that Christ has won for you, and do not allow yourself to be entangled again with any yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. And the exciting thing for me is that not only did he disarm them, but he made a public show of it. He embarrassed them. He humiliated them. Because in ancient times, when a king goes to war and overcomes his enemy king, he will gather the enemy king and all his soldiers and parade them publicly in the streets of his major city. And it is to send a clear message to all and sundry that this guy has lost power. He's been defeated. He's been overcome. And that is what Christ did with Satan and the forces of darkness, with this spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He embarrassed them and made a public show of them. And he made defe of all of them. Hallelujah. And it does not just end there. He has also given to you power over these principalities and forces of darkness. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 10:19. Can we read it together? Ready? Go. Look. Say that again. And Luke just said, continue.
I've given you Baze. Giving you Ibaze.
Shout authority. Mm-hmm. Continue. Oh, no. It says over some of the power of the enemy. It said over a few of the enemy's power. It says over the idea. Say it again. All, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Continue. You can walk among snakes and crush them. And what's the last thing it says there? Nothing will injure you. Lift up your right hand and shout, I receive this. Shout, I believe this. Listen to me. Believe this from your heart of hearts. He's given you authority over them. A lot of the things that the devil is trying to do in your life, it's up to you whether you're going to give in to the effort to bring fear your way, or you are going to stand firm in the liberty where Christ has set you free. And another thing that he preys on is your ignorance. Look, ignorance, it's a very wild thing. It makes you very vulnerable and it exposes you. When you don't know what you're supposed to know, when you don't know what you have, when you don't know what you have been given, your whole life will be shortchanged. Ignorance. Which is why we teach the word of God and minister the way we do. What you don't understand is that when we teach you the word of God the way we do and tell you things about knowing God for yourself, we are arming you and ensuring that you are at the right place where if the enemy comes up against you, he will not be able to prevail. But when you don't know who you are in Christ, your position in him, where he has placed you, what he has given to you, you only end up falling victim to him. And you are supposed to be an overcomer, but your entire life is the life of somebody who has been vanquished. I change that story of your life from today by the power that is in the mighty name of Jesus. Shall I receive it three times? Shout it again. Shout it again. Somebody wants to say to me, Pastor, I don't feel that I have power. I don't feel it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about what you feel. It's about the fact. You don't feel powerful. Look, in yourself, you don't have any power. But in Christ, you have all the power. It's like a policeman who is directing traffic. I remember one day when my son was very little, we asked him that, what would you like to be in future? The first time I asked him that question, he said, carpenter. And I think the reason was because I had bought some toys for him, some carpentry tools, and he was fascinated by them. Another time when I asked that question, his answer was, I'll be a policeman. Why? Because he was fascinated by the apparent power and authority of the policeman. And all, even the 18-wheeler trucks have no option, but they have to stop. By himself, he does not have the strength to stop them. But because he has the authority of the state backing him, when he stands there, even if he has malaria or worms, he just lifts his hand. Pew! And everybody's got to stop. Because he's operating under authority. You may be bigger than him. You may be stronger than him. But once he raises that hand, he got to stop. That's the authority that God has placed in our hands. Yeah. And you got to believe it. You have to reflect on these things until they sink deep into your heart and into your spirit. So one of the victories of the cross that you have is victory over Satan and all dark powers. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. Let's finish this. In 6 minutes we end. The sixth victory, which is the last but one, is healing. Healing. That's the sixth victory of the cross. Healing for your body, for your soul, and for your spirit. Healing is one of the victories of the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 5. Surely he has borne our griefs. and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And can you read the last line with me? Ready, go. Say it again. Say it with your eyes closed and your hands lifted. For the very last time. And by his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. There is healing for the body, which is physical healing, where God restores your human body from sickness, from disease, and from injury. And ladies and gentlemen, as part of the atoning work on the cross of Calvary, there is healing for your physical body. There is. If we can believe it, if we can trust in what the word of God says, we can have healing for every infirmity and every ailment. And right here and right now, you can walk out of this church hall with healing in your body. Let's put it to practice. If you are not well in any part of your body, just place your hand there. Any part of your body that you are not feeling well, and just close your eyes. The word of God says, and by his stripes we are healed. And right now, as you placed your hand there, will you join your faith to mine? You can even stand in the gap for somebody you know who is not well. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for the cross of Christ, and thank you for his finished work on that cross. We just read your word that says, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. And Father, behold all these people who have an infirmity, a weakness, a sickness in some part of their bodies, or they are standing in the gap for somebody. Father, stretch forth your healing power and let the power to heal, the power of the Holy Ghost, move through every sick body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive your healing. Receive your relief. Receive strength. Receive restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. I command every sickness, every infirmity, to bow to the power that is in the name of Jesus. And I command that infirmity to be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Lift up your hand and say, I am healed. Say it again, I am healed. Say it again, I am healed. And in Jesus' name and by his stripes, you are healed. Clap your hands unto the Lord. By his wounds, we are healed. Wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Physical healing. Healing for your body, and then there is also healing for your soul. Your soul has to do with your will. Your soul has to do with your mind. Your soul has to do with your emotions. And sometimes you are not sick physically, but there's a problem with you mentally. There's a problem with you emotionally. there is a problem with you. You struggle to take the right decisions for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, by the finished work of Jesus on the cross that guarantees you victory, you can have healing from every sickness or infirmity that affects your soul. I speak and pronounce today, may every trauma be gone. May every depression be lifted. May every rejection be canceled. May every bitterness disappear. May the chains of fear be broken. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And there's healing for your spirit also. And when you become saved, that's when you receive healing for your spirit. Healing for your spirit is when you have a relationship with God restored. The relationship that God always intended for man to have with him. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you receive healing for your spirit. And you have a relationship with God and you become alive again spiritually. And if you are here today and you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I am happy to announce to you that your spirit is healed. If you are here and you've not taken that step, I have good news for you. Before the service ends, you have an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is what will bring healing to your spirit and make your life brand new. Shout amen. And ladies and gentlemen, the cross remains the foundation for all types of healing. Understand this, my friend, that through the victories of Jesus on the cross, you can have healing for your spirit, healing for your soul, and healing for your body. And then the final one as we end. The final major victory of the cross is access to God's presence. Access to God's presence. Matthew 27 verse 50 to 51. Matthew 27, 50 to 51. Then Jesus shouted out again. This was when he was on the cross and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split apart. Hebrews 10, 19 to 20. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of what? The blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 verse 16. So, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help when we need it most. Ladies and gentlemen, through the finished work on the cross of Calvary, Jesus has guaranteed us victory that gives us access to the presence of God. Once upon a time, there was only one group of people who had a special relationship with God on earth, the people of Israel. And God had a special covenant with them. He gave them his laws. He directed them to build a tabernacle and a temple unto him. That tabernacle had three main parts: the outer courts, the holy place, and the holy of holies, or the most holy place. The holy of holies was where the glory and the presence of God could be seen and experienced. In that holy of holies, the ark of the covenant was placed there, and the ark sat underneath the wings of two huge cherubims. Once a year, somebody called the high priest will go into the holy of holies and offer incense and sacrifices to take care of his own sins and the sins of the entire nation. Once a year, nobody else was allowed to go to that place. There was restrained access, and only the high priest was allowed. And the high priest, when the time comes for him to go, he's always afraid. Because one wrong move on his part, he's not going to come back. So when they enter in there, the gown that he wears has bells at the hem. So as he's moving, those those in the other space can hear the bells ringing, which means that everything is okay. If at the penny point they don't hear the bells again, they tell themselves that Eble. So there's also a rope that is tied somewhere, so they cannot go inside to fish out his body. They have to use the rope and drag him in, like fishermen drag their catch of fish. Only one person in 1 year could have access there. But when Jesus shouted, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was ripped into two. And watch this, it did not happen from bottom to top. It happened from top to bottom. If it happened from bottom to top, then somebody will say it was men who tore it. But it happened from top to bottom. It could only be God who did it. And it signified that from now onwards, my presence is available to everybody. And anybody who comes to me through that living way, which is Jesus Christ, can have access to me. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe you've been told that there are some people who have exclusive rights to God. That is nonsense. Perhaps you've been told that you cannot feel God and experience God in a certain way yourself because you don't have what it takes. That is another nonsense. You do not need any pastor. You do not need any prophet. You do not need any bishop to create access for you into the presence of God. They don't have rights to God that you don't have. Sometimes the ehunehuna that this my colleague ministers bring us make us feel that they have a different Holy Ghost from the Holy Ghost that we have. Holy Ghost noya ba kope. It is just what people do to exploit the masses. That is why you are made to feel that you don't have what it takes. What it takes to access the presence of God is to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is why the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You can have access to the presence of God because you are a child of God. How many children of God do I have in this place this morning? Shout, "I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have unlimited access to the presence of my heavenly Father." If I ask you today to go to the Jubilee House to go and see President Mahama, what they would do, tell them that you are looking for Mahama, you will hear what they are going to tell you. Se wanji asutro anabibi ankanwa ende niebe kanusa. Do you think when the son of President Mahama goes to the Jubilee House that he's looking for his father? Is there any soldier, any military man who can say, "I'm not going to allow you to see your father"? What's the difference between him and you? He's a son, and you are not a son. Because he's a son, he has access that you don't have because you are not a son. So I ask again, who are you? I said, who are you? If you are a child of God, then you have access to him. And that is one of the victories of the cross. Hallelujah! Rise to your feet and clap your hands and celebrate the Lord for the seven major victories of the cross. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord for his word today. Pray that this word will continue to ring in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. That you will stand upon the truth of the word of God, the assurances that God's word has given. Decide and determine that from today, you are not going to live a life that is a low reflection of who you are in Christ Jesus. Thank God for all the seven victories that you have learned, victories of the cross. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you to live your Christian life guided by these victories that you have. Pray that your life will change drastically and dramatically from today because of the truth that you have received. He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Bless the name of the Lord, everyone. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our time is up and we've got to end the service. But you want to say, "Pastor, I've been blessed by the word of God. But after listening to you, I realized that there's a very important step that I need to take. I need to have this Jesus in my life." Perhaps you're watching me from somewhere, wherever you are. Obviously, I can't see you, but God can see you because he knows you. And there's nowhere you can be that you can hide from the watchful eyes of the Lord. Today, you have an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I would want to pray with you. Somebody invited you to church today. You know deep inside you that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. But that can be corrected. All you got to do is to pray a prayer and invite him into your heart. Ask him to forgive you your sins, to wash you with his blood that will never lose its power. And it will mark a transformation and a change in your life. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are, whether in person here or virtually, lift up your hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you that Jesus should come into your heart. Hallelujah. If you've already prayed this prayer before, last week you were here and you prayed this prayer, you don't need to raise your hand again. But if today is the first time in your life, or maybe you prayed this prayer some time ago, but you did not take God seriously, but today you've received a better understanding of what it means to be a Christian, and you want to give your heart to Jesus or rededicate your life to him, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. If you're watching me, wherever you are, you can lift your hand there. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Today, I surrender my life to you. I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior for the rest of my life. I will serve him. I will follow him. I will live for him. Oh God, receive me today as your special child. Grant me the privileges that you have for all your children. My life from today will never be the same again. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name." And let the people of God say, "Amen."
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.